Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, you might be looking around this morning. You see a lot of us wearing jerseys and those kinds of things. Amen. And you know, Sunday morning during football season might be one of the most separate. People have their own opinions on which team is better and those kind of things. But, you know, in Victory Outreach, we're all united. Amen. We're all on the same team. So if you happen to be sitting next to like an Eagle fan or something like that, same team. Amen. I see an engaged couple over here, one with a Cowboy jersey, one with a Niner jersey right there, talking to you guys. See, they're getting along great. It's all good. I see a Bronco and a Chief fan right here. That's a rough one right there. Amen. They do have some distance between them, just in case. So today, of course, is Super Soul Sunday, and we're not going to be speaking too long because, not because we don't love Jesus, just because we also want to watch the Super Bowl. Amen. Just kidding. Or do we have any Patriot? Where's Amaya at? Amen. Derwin, where's Derwin? All right, let's get it over with. There they are. Let's not look at... Amen. Don't even look. Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. I'm going to start here. We're not going to end here. But I have... three or four points, and then we'll get out of here. But I really believe that the Lord has a word for you. Amen. Good to see Missy in church. Amen. She just had a beautiful baby girl. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Brother Todd, great to see you, Brother Todd. We've been praying for you. Amen. Judges chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And we're just going to use this verse as a springboard this morning. We're going to actually read a few verses right here. Begins Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also, Amalekites and the people of the east would come against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming as numerous as locusts. Both them and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of those who pressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." And right here, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And so this morning I want to talk to you about the word that God gave me for this morning. And he gave it to me while I was thinking about the Super Bowl. So I know it's right for this morning. See, yesterday something took place, February 2nd, that wasn't the Super Bowl. Something took place which is also very important to the NFL. What it is, it's the award ceremony where they honor certain players and coaches for what they did during the season. Right? So they give out awards. Now we know that the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And so this morning, we're going to have a little award ceremony. Now, you look at the different awards that were given out yesterday, and all of them were important. People played the season all year long to try to strive to get these awards. And so I just have a few of them that I'm going to list, and then we're going to talk about them, how they relate to our scriptures here in the Bible. The first award that I want to talk about was Rookie of the Year, right? And this was for the best player, the best offensive player, that this was their first season. And it's the Rookie of the Year. And his name was Saquon Barkley. I think I got that right. Saquon Barkley. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, he plays for the New York Giants. But he did win the award. And see, here in the church, we also have Rookie of the Years. Right? We're actually in something, our ministry has just stepped in to something brand new. First, we had the Pioneer Generation. Then we had the Joshua Generation. And now we have a third wave revival where we have young people coming up in God's anointed now generation taking their place in the ministry. But it's not just in the gig. Also, we have people coming through our victory homes that are taking their place in the ministry. Part of this third wave of revival, people getting saved for the very first time. And this is their season to have a breakout season. Listen, even though that you might be a rookie, even though you might have not been here that long, maybe for a month, 6 months, maybe this is your first year at Victory Outreach, you don't have to wait 5, 10, 20 years. You don't have to be a veteran to make an impact here in the kingdom of God. You can be a rookie of the year. We see here in Judges chapter 6, there was something taking place. What had happened is the people of Israel had gone away from the things of the Lord, and what the Lord allowed to happen were all these other people were coming in and robbing the people of Israel. The Midianites, whatever Israel would plant, whatever good they tried to do, the Midianites would come in with their livestock. They would come in with their people, and they would rob all of their harvest. And I know that some of you here this morning, you might have felt that way out in the world before you came to know Jesus, that no matter what you tried to do, no matter what good thing you tried to accomplish by yourself, that no matter what you tried to plant, the enemy would come in. He would come in and just steal all those things. No matter how many times you tried to get it right, no matter how many times you tried to do the right thing, the enemy would come in Right? Some of you in our victory homes, you might have tried different rehabs and different programs and you tried this and that and your parents sent you here or you tried to quit cold turkey. Come on, somebody. Oh, but when you came and found the power of Jesus Christ, you came and found the power of God. God was able to turn your life around. I like here in verse 11 when the Bible says that an angel came and visited Gideon. And we know that when we read the rest of the story, we know what Gideon thought about himself. He thought he was the least of the least. He was the part of the least tribe, and he was the least one in his tribe. And sometimes we can think about that about ourselves. That we don't deserve good things. We don't deserve to be blessed. We don't deserve to walk in favor. We don't deserve to have the call of God. We don't deserve to have a good wife or a good husband or a good family or a good future. We don't deserve it. Listen, when the angel of the Lord came to talk to Gideon, it wasn't because Gideon deserved it. It was because that God had called Gideon with a purpose. Listen, it doesn't matter what you deserve. You have been called by God with a purpose. God has an amazing plan for your life. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is and what He wants to do in and through your life. Rookie of the Year. We see members of our youth ministry taking their place. We see young people rising up. I don't know about you, but I don't even know what I was doing when I was 15 years old. It wasn't serving the Lord, that's for sure. But we see young people getting a hold of God, wanting to fulfill the call of God, fulfill the purpose of God. Our rookies of the year, our young men and women and those that go through our victory homes 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, and then they complete at 12 months. They complete their rookie season, now taking their place in the ministry and fulfilling the call of God upon their life. Listen, if you want to know what Victory Outreach is, that is Victory Outreach. Watching treasures out of darkness, people that had no hope, no purpose, had their lives changed, transformed and turned around. That is Victory Outreach. Not only is there a Rookie of the Year, one of the most prestigious awards is called the MVP, the Most Valuable Player. Mark's going to love this one. He's going to love it. This year's MVP, he's like, can I make a special announcement? This year's MVP, the first one that the Chiefs organization has ever had in the history of their franchise. Just a second-year player named Patrick Mahomes. Right? Balled out all season, did things that no one had ever seen before. In basketball, they have these things called no-look passes. You will not find them in the NFL until this year. Amazing. But the reason that he got that award was because of the importance that he played to his team. That he was so important to his team. And I think about all the MVPs of our church. I think about all of our leaders and volunteers. Those that on a daily and weekly basis are at our church office. Those that are on a daily and weekly basis ushering in our church, working security, greeting our children's church ministry. Those that make church happen at Victory Outreach, you are the MVPs. If you are on the worship team, the hours of rehearsal that you do, the practices, if you're on the game team, if you're on the leadership, whatever ministry that you're in, you are an MVP of this church. I think about the disciples, amen, that they had spent just a short period of time with Jesus. They were there, they were fishing or doing whatever they were doing, tax collecting, being the doctors, whatever they were doing. But whatever it was just living their normal everyday lives. But then one day they met Jesus. And then one day we met a man named Jesus. And listen, when I met Jesus, I wasn't at my good paying job. That's not where Jesus found me. Come on, somebody. But then what happens is these disciples, these 12 guys, went down to 11 and back up to 12. These 12 guys were able to shake the whole world upside down. The Jesus' MVPs, the ones that heard the word of God, the ones that got discipled, and the ones that then were led out to do all the things to spread the gospel, first to the area, then all over the world. The MVPs. The next award that I want to talk about is Coach of the Year. You know, this year, it was won by a, you know, and I'm not listing any Cowboys this morning. I'm so sad about it. We didn't win any of these awards. But the coach of the Chicago Bears won MVP, won Coach of the Year. Thank you, Sister Joanne Lee and others. And the reason he did that was because he turned everything around. They went from worst to first. Coach of the Year. And how many know that coaches make all the difference? You look at our Super Bowl today. Yeah, do they have great players? Of course they have great players. But you know, it's the NFL. Everybody has great players. Everybody has superstars on their team. Everybody gets first-round draft picks if they're no good, right? But what makes the difference? What makes the difference between a good team and a great team? It's the coach. You look at it in the Super Bowl today, we have Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And then an up-and-coming superstar coach in Sean McVay for the Rams. This is the only time I can break out all the NFL stuff. I'm loving it. Half of you guys are like, we don't even care about that stuff. That's all right. Super Soul Sunday. But coaches make all the difference. Right? How do the Patriots keep on winning? I hate it. Every year they win, right? But they always get the worst draft pick. Because the best teams get the worst draft picks. How do they keep on winning? It must be the coach. Right? It's not God, the Patriots. Who said that? You know, we have a great coach here at Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Right? And our pastors are wonderful. Right? And that's why we have a winning team. That's why we have a team. We have a dream team. Come on, somebody. Because of our pastors are amazing. Listen, coaches make all the difference. We have amazing assistant coaches. Right? Maybe you might be a superstar here this morning. God, you know, the Bible says that we all have talents and gifts, that He gives us all talents and gifts. God has given all those to us, but it's the coaches that bring the best out of the people, out of the players. Listen, you might not be shining because you don't have a coach in your life. You need a coach. You can't do this by yourself. I needed a coach in my life. Right? I was a rough dude. Still kind of rough. Okay, I'm a rough dude. But thank God that God brought Pastor Danny into my life to coach me. Amen? Because we have great assistant coaches. We got Coach Mitchell here. Amen? Coach Williams. Coach Duran. Coach Garcia. Coach Nickel. Coach Carter. Come on, somebody. Just kidding. Amen. I mean, kind of, Gary, it's kind of similar. You know what I mean? Amen. But we need great coaches in our lives. People to speak into us and tell us, you know, what we're doing right and wrong, and to help us and to fulfill the call of God in our lives. Right? To come underneath somebody. Join a life group. Right? Join the women's life groups that are taking place in February. Listen, and just to get something clear, the women's life groups isn't instead of the regular life groups. They're two separate things. I know there might be a little confusion. They're not instead of, they're an addition to. Right? They're different. They're not the same life groups. Amen? And if any of you live in the Rio Rancho area, let me give a close plug. We have a Victory Center starting in Rio Rancho on the northwest side. It starts February 15th or 16th, 15th. It starts February 15th. If you're in the northwest side of Albuquerque or the Rio Rancho area, come see me after service. We are starting our very first Victory Center. Amen. It's just in 2 short weeks. And we know that God has something special, amen, for Rio Rancho in that area. But back to the message, you need a good coach in your life. When you're going through stuff, right? How many know that we don't have all the answers? Right? We need people that have gone before us. We need people that, the Bible says that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Right? We're over here just making mistakes all over the place. Come on, somebody. We just go make mistakes. And you're trying to learn from all your mistakes. Wouldn't it be better if you talked to somebody that's been there before so you didn't have to make all the mistakes? Right? The wisdom. There's a wisdom. Have someone in your life. And if you don't know, if you're not like, hey, I'm not a big, like, outgoing, talk to people kind of person. Listen, I'm not like an outgoing, I mean, it might seem like it up here, but once I get down there, I'm not like, hey, let me talk to you, let me connect. Man, I struggle talking to people, right? And sometimes it's hard. But you know what? Just show up to a life group. Just show up somewhere. My wife has this trick when she's witnessing. She says, 1, 2, 3, go. Did I say that right? In her head. She doesn't say it out loud. Like right before I talk to somebody, 1, 2, 3, go. But, you know, after she told me that, it really helped me, like, talk to people. Like, I remember this one time that it was my first time on a zip line, right? And I might have told this story before. It was my first time on a zip line, so I'm up there. It's super high in the air. How many of you, love heights? Not me. I hate heights. I'm the most hate height kind of person. Like, if there was, like, a top fear, everybody has fears, right? Right? You know, public speaking's a big one. How many of you guys love spiders, right? Snakes, bugs, those kind of things, right? But I hate heights. That's like my worst one. I hate heights. So I'm on the zip line. I'll make a super short story. The lady, she's a young girl too. She's maybe like 18 years old. She's like, "Are you okay, sir?" And I'm like, "I'm sweating. I'm losing it." And she goes, "You know what? What sometimes helps is if I count and then you jump." And I'm like, "All right, well, I'm ready to try it, right?" And she goes, "Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go." And then I turn to her and say, "Can you count down from 10? I ended up jumping. It was worse to climb down than it was to go. You know what I mean? When I think about a good coach, I think about Joshua. Joshua took the people into the promised land. Right? Timothy needed Paul. Elijah needed Elijah. Even Joshua needed Moses. We all need a good coach in our lives. The last award I want to share this morning is probably one of my favorite awards. It's not the MVP. They even have awards like, you know, air and ground, who threw the most yards and who ran the most. And I think Zeke won the rushing title. Yeah, okay, Cowboys did get one. That's what I'm talking about. Woo! Altar call, keyboard. Just kidding. But one of my favorite awards is called Comeback Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year. Someone that was out. Someone that went through a travesty. Someone that got injured. And people might have counted him out. People might have said he might not make it. Comeback Player of the Year was Andrew Luck. Indianapolis Colts. He didn't play the entire 2017 season. They said that he couldn't pick up a football for 18 straight months. Couldn't throw a football. But this year took his team to the playoffs, was second only to Patrick Mahomes in yards and touchdowns, because he had made a decision to make a comeback. When I think about comebacks, and if the keyboard player can go ahead and make their way, when I think about comebacks, you can think of a number of people, right? Peter, when he denied Christ, right? Jonah, when he repented and got out of the whale. Jacob, when he had to wrestle with God, right? One of the greatest comebacks, Lazarus. He literally came back. Come on, somebody. Amen. But one of the greatest comebacks was the prodigal son. Right? What happened? He one day he went to his dad and he said, listen, I want my inheritance now. And some of us are like that. We get in a bad place in our hearts and our minds. We don't see the greatness and the goodness of God in front of us. And we decide to take all that we have and go somewhere else. Maybe it's because, like many football players that need to make a comeback, maybe it's because we got injured. Something hurt us. Maybe it was a family member, a person that we know in church. Maybe it was our home directors or leaders or something that we took offense to. And we felt hurt. Maybe it's someone that was even in the ministry with us or whatever it was. We got injured. What happened is he left and left to live a life that was about him. It was about self. The Bible says he went to a faraway land and wanted to do wild living. What happened is he squandered all of his inheritance and a bad recession hit. Found himself there and working for somebody else as a slave, feeding the pigs, looking at the pig food and saying, man, this pig food looks good. That's when you know you're in a bad spot. When you can look at the nastiness of the world and say, man, this nastiness looks good. But the Bible says that he came to his senses. And the moment he came to his senses, he even said, even in my father's house, that the servants have plenty. And he said to himself, maybe I could go home. Maybe I can take the long way home. And maybe my father can make me like one of his servants in his house. So what he did is he got up and I'm sure that all the way home, and some of you, you've been through this before, or maybe you've left church and you got injured. And you started to walk back and you begin to think about all the things that people might say. You begin to think about all the big things that people might think about you. All the guilt and the shame and all those things. Listen, the road back is one of the hardest roads to walk. I'm sure all the way there he was, what's my dad going to think? What are the people going to think? Oh, but the Bible says that it was from a far way off that his father had seen him. That he was already looking down the road for him, waiting for his return. Some of you here this morning on Super Soul Sunday, maybe you think, I don't know what will happen if I try to come back to God. I don't know if God will take me back. Listen, I'm here to declare to you that God is already waiting for your return. That even right now that He's seen you from a far way off. The Father runs down and opens His arms. He says, grab a coat and a ring and put it on my son. For he was once dead. Now he's alive. Listen, I don't know how many of you need to make a comeback. How many of you maybe have gotten injured or hurt with people or ministry? How many of you do you know, even though that you might be sitting here this morning, you know you're not where you need to be? Listen, one of the greatest stories of all time is the story of a comeback. This could be your comeback season. You know, the first step is the hardest one. To say, you know what, I need to get back to where I need to get with God. Listen, if one of these areas spoke to you this morning, maybe that's even you here, say, you know what, I need to get back on track with God. Maybe when we were talking about Rookie of the Year, you're saying, you know what, I've been in the gang or I've been in the home, but I really haven't stepped into the call. I go to church because my parents go to church. Or maybe I'm just in the home because my probation officer makes me. Listen, I was court committed, but 3 months in, I got radically delivered and changed. I got the call of God upon my life. That point on, the court didn't keep me in the home. The call of God kept me in the home. I need to get a coach in my life. I don't talk to nobody. I don't ask anybody for advice. This is a lone ranger out here. Listen, this is your season to elevate. And if you want to be part of a championship team, you're not going to get there on your talent. But the coach makes the difference. Or if you need to make a comeback to the Lord this morning, let's all stand to our feet. If any of those areas spoke to you this morning, I want to invite you to go ahead and step out of your seats. Let's make our way to the altar and let's pray. Let's pray that God would give us the strength that it takes to step out and answer the call to make our comeback. Oh, we worship you this morning.